Thanks for listening to this episode of the Westerosi Primer. For full show notes and more about all things Westeros, head to thewesterosiprimer.com. Before I start playing the intro music, check out this friend of the show.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Are you tired of having to change to different podcasts for different topics?
You think you know what we're going to talk about.
And welcome back to Three Fates Decide.
Then we're the podcast for you. Three Fates Decide podcast ranges in a variety of topics, all the way from true crime to reviewing different movies, shows, theater, to the hottest pop culture gossip and topics.
It just sounds more dramatic that way.
All right, so this week we are going to be talking about...
You can find us on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Deezer, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and all other podcast players. New episodes post every Friday. Feel free to also follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Three Fates Decide with the three spelled out. You can also shoot us an email at threefatesdecide@gmail.com to send us topics you want us to cover. We want to cover what you want. Want different topics? Well, then let the Three Fates Decide.
Three Fates Decide podcast.
Welcome to another episode of the Westerosi Primer. My name is Liz, and in this episode, I will be talking about the Crownlands. I'll be discussing some of the notable people, places, and historical events that happen in the seat of power in Westeros. Before I start the discussion, there are a couple of things to note. First, there will be some potential spoilers for people who have not read the novels in the A Song of Ice and Fire saga. There may also be potential spoilers for House of the Dragon and other future shows that may be adapted by Max in the future. So if you're okay with this, then please continue listening. Second, this will not be a definitive episode of everything about the Crownlands, as there really is a lot of information about all the notable houses mentioned in the novels and the additional information written by George R. Martin and collected by various fans, including the contributors of Westeros.org. Throughout this season of the Westerosi Primer, I will be using information gathered from the novel series, Westeros.org, The World of Ice and Fire, and The Lands of Ice and Fire. Check out the full show notes and other links located on this show's website, thewesterosiprimer.com. With that said, let's begin. Unlike the regions I've talked about in the previous 8 episodes, this was never an independent kingdom. Much of the land that comprises the Crownlands were originally land that was part of the Riverlands and Stormlands. This territory was actually disputed between rulers of the two kingdoms. Of course, things changed when the Targaryens started their conquest. If you were listening to the previous episode about the Riverlands, I mentioned the Blackwater Rush. This river moves from the Riverlands and empties into a bay called the Blackwater Bay. Famously, King's Landing was built around the mouth of the Blackwater Rush flowing to the bay. Just south of King's Landing is the King's Wood. As the name would indicate, this is section of the woods that is specifically for the king to hunt in. You'd require royal permission or invitation to hunt there. In the Age of Heroes, the now extinct House Darkland was the ruling king of the land that makes up the Crownlands. Of course, the ruling houses kept shifting over time. Again, this changed with the conquest. conquest. King's Landing is not only the capital of Westeros, but it is also the largest city in the continent. We're already familiar with many aspects of the city from the TV shows, so I'll just cover the most important things. The city is surrounded by massive walls. The main security force is, of course, the City Watch. They're known as the Gold Cloaks due to the colored cloaks they wear. The City Watch was actually established during the reign of King Maegor. We also saw in House of the Dragon that Daemon Targaryen was a commander of the Watch. He was the one responsible for the gold-colored cloaks they wore. Unfortunately, the quality and reliability of the City Watch varied over the centuries. By the time we got to King Robert's reign, the City Watch was mostly corrupt. They were only reliable for whoever paid the commander more. King's Landing has three hills, which are named after Aegon the Conqueror and his sisters. Aegon's High Hill is where the Red Keep is located on. Visenya's Hill is where the Great Sept of Baelor is located. Game of Thrones fans will know the Great Sept of Baelor as being the place where Ned Stark lost his head. It's the primary cathedral built for the new gods. This was named after King Baelor the Blessed, who was a sept and later king. Until this sept was built, the primary sept of the faith was the Starry Sept in Old Town. I mentioned this particular building back in the Reach episode. The Dragon Pit was constructed on the Hill of Rhaenys. Another famous place in King's Landing is the infamous Flea Bottom. It is the main slum area of the city where many of the poorest people in the capital live. Like I've said, we've seen many of the notable things about King's Landing in the TV shows. Another notable place in the Crownlands is, of course, Dragonstone. We have seen Dragonstone quite a bit in the shows, particularly House of the Dragon. I'll briefly describe the history of Dragonstone before Robert's Rebellion. After all, we know eventually it was given to Stannis Baratheon when the Targaryens were overthrown. 2 centuries before the Doom of Valyria, the Valyrians claimed the island and built a castle on it. Then, 12 years before the Doom, House Targaryen moved to the island. It was claimed that Daenerys Targaryen had a vision predicting the destruction of Valyria. And of course, as we know, a few generations later, the conquest began. There are a number of noble houses who are in the Crownlands. As I've stated in the beginning of the episode, I don't talk about every house. This episode will be fairly short, as most of the houses in the Crownlands are actually more like background characters in the novels. Due to their close distances from King's Landing, there are random mentions of nobles in the Crownlands being at court. Nothing particularly notable happens with many of them, unlike the other nobles I've talked about in the previous episodes. I will also mention I won't be discussing the Targaryens here. For one thing, there's an extensive history to this particular house that George spent a lot of time on. Also, discussions of the Targaryens in more detail is extremely spoiler-laden, considering we have House of the Dragon. House Velaryon of Driftmark is a house we are very familiar with because of House of the Dragon. Like the Targaryens, this family claimed their origins in Valyria. This family actually arrived on Driftmark and settled there before House Targaryen arrived on Dragonstone. As we've seen, this family is also proud of its naval traditions. Many times the Master of Ships position was occupied by a Valyrian. Another notable fact is that since they are Valyrians, there have been intermarriages between House Targaryen and House Velaryon. We've seen this multiple times in the Targaryen family tree. Lord Aerion Targaryen married Lady Velaena Velaryon and had 3 children, Aegon, Visenya, and Rhaenys. Later, Ennys Targaryen, son of Aegon and Rhaenys Targaryen, married Lady Alyssa Velaryon. As I mentioned in the Stormlands episode, later Alyssa would marry Rhaegar Baratheon. And then, of course, we had the marriages of Corlys Velaryon and Rhaenys Targaryen, and Laenor Velaryon and Rhaenyra Targaryen. There are a couple more such intermarriages, but that would be spoilers for House of the Dragon. House Stokeworth of Stokeworth is directly sworn to King's Landing. They are located just north of the capital. Naturally, because of their close proximity to the capital, there are often Stokeworths present at court throughout the history of King's Landing. There was a Stokeworth who served as one of Aegon the Conqueror's hands of the king. In later generations, Felina Stokeworth was once considered a candidate for queen until misfortune happened to her. Later, she became the first of Aegon the Unworthy's mistresses. She was eventually married off to Lord Lothston. Her daughter Jane Lothston later became his 8th mistress. Unfortunately, the Stokeworths don't do particularly well by the time we get to Robert's reign. House Rosby of Rosby is directly sworn to King's Landing. Like the Stokeworths, they have been involved in various events in King's Landing due to their proximity to the capital. One Rosby of note is Sir Rayford Rosby, who was one of the champions to defend King Maegor during a trial by combat. And just like with the Stokeworths, things don't go well for this house during the novels, as there is a succession crisis with this house. House Celtigar of Claw Isle is also able to claim Valyrian descent. They are a minor house in the saga. I will, however, note we actually met a member of this family in House of the Dragon. Lord Bartimos Celtigar serves as Rhaenyra's Master of Coin in the season 1 finale. And that just about covers the basics of who's who in the Crownlands. If you're interested in finding out more for yourself about any of these houses and other people and places I didn't discuss in this episode, feel free to go to the full show notes where I will have links. Though be aware, if you do any of this research, there will be spoilers to the novels and some possible material covered in the future seasons of House of the Dragon. Thank you for listening and tune into the next episode where we travel across the Narrow Sea to the many cultures of Essos. Also, I'll be making a couple of important announcements, so stay tuned.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
What did you think of this episode? Check out the WesterosiPrimer.com and let me know what you think of this episode. If you have a friend or two that might like the show, make sure to share.